As much as we might want to be, as far as religion goes, like those around us, there are certain issues that really show that there is a difference from one another. We're going to call these issues of distinction. We're going to choose the word distinction because it means the act of distinguishing. The condition or fact of being not similar or distinct, difference, a distinguishing factor, attribute, or characteristic. So these issues of distinction are those which distinguish one from others that are in the same way. These issues of distinction relate to matters of truth and error. For those who love truth, that which holds error has no attraction. Remember what the wise man said in Proverbs 23 and verse 23. And then Jesus declared the value of truth in John 8 verses 31 and 32. And John wrote in his epistle rather, highly of those who walk in truth, 3 John verses 3 and 4. Devotion to the truth then will necessarily distinguish one group from another, who may subscribe to different errors. In this lesson, I want to talk about the identity or be able to identify several important issues of distinction. And I believe there are many, and there will be others that we won't cover. And to show how they necessarily distinguish one group from another. For example, one issue of distinction is the existence of God. You may think, well, nobody questions the existence of God, but some question or deny the existence of God, such as atheists or agnostics. Others believe in the existence of God, and these include those of all major religions, like Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, Muslims, Christians. And the reason for such belief can be varied, including evidence of nature, fulfilled prophecies in the scriptures, and evidences for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As many as we may or should love or respect as individuals who do not believe in a supreme being, this issue creates a fundamental difference between people. Another issue of distinction is the identity of God. Many believe in a multitude of gods. The Buddhists believe in a multitude of gods. The Hindus. Others believe the God of Abraham is the one true God. And on this side of the issue are the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians. The reason why many people believe in God, the God of Abraham, may vary from group to group. For example, the Jews believe because of Moses and the prophets. Christians believe because of Moses, the prophets, and Jesus Christ. Muslims believe because of all those plus Muhammad as their final prophet. Again, we should respect and love those who are of different distinctions. But then that's what distinguishes us, isn't it? A third issue is the identity of Jesus of Nazareth. There are many that believe that Jesus was just simply a good man, maybe a prophet, but not much more. A lot of the Jews hold a view of Jesus that he was a good man, but not the Messiah. Muslims believe that he was a prophet, but not the Son of God. And yet others believe Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. On this side of the issue are all those who profess to be Christians. Together with Peter, they freely confess, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16. And their reasons for believing this would include such things as fulfilled messianic prophecies and the evidence for his resurrection from the dead. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if all accepted the true identity of Jesus and they were united? You know, really, that was the prayer of Jesus in John 17, verses 20 and 21. He prayed there, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. But unfortunately, there are issues of distinction which show that there is a difference even in those who believe in Jesus Christ. One thing that we need to consider is the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures. A lot, even those who believe in Christ, dispute the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures. For example, the Roman Catholics, the Greek Orthodox Catholics, and others who accept in addition to the Bible the traditions of the Church, the Pope and the ecclesiastical decrees. Another example would be the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Christian Scientists, Pentecostals, and the list goes on, who believe that there is a need for more than just the Bible. They believe in latter-day prophets or modern-day revelations. And others still believe the Scriptures to be an all-sufficient guide. In other words, that the Bible has everything that we need. On this side of the issue would be most of what would be called mainstream Protestant churches. Reasons are based upon the claim of the Scriptures themselves to be sufficient for making the man of God complete. That's what Paul wrote to the young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. He says there that all Scripture is inspired of God. But Jude tells us in verse 3 that all the Scriptures have been revealed for one time, for all time. So where there are different standards of authority, people will not be able to agree. This makes the issue of the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures an issue of distinction. And there's another issue of distinction, the purpose or the reason for baptism. Many will deny baptism that it has anything to do with salvation. This includes many mainstream Protestant denominations. They teach that baptism is simply a confession of faith and is not necessary for salvation. Others believe what the Bible teaches about baptism, that it is necessary. That is necessary for salvation. Mark 16 and verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is necessary for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38 in Peter's response there on the day of Pentecost. That is necessary for becoming children of God through faith. As Paul would write in Galatians 3 verses 26 and 27. In this later conviction, if it is true, then those who would teach something other than what the gospel proclaims about Jesus and his apostles, then they're teaching error. Because, as we see from the Scriptures, and I believe in the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures, that it is all that we need. We don't need any other revelations or doctrines or prophecies or anything else. I believe in what the Bible says. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. And Paul warned about those who would teach what he would call a perverted gospel. In Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, he pointed out that he marveled that those who had heard the gospel had departed so soon. But he condemned those who would teach and believe something false. Finally, there's another issue that makes religions different. It's the nature of the Lord's church. Some want to make the church a denomination. And I'm afraid this is the case with many in the so-called churches of Christ, and especially groups like the International Church of Christ. By changing the nature of cooperation among local churches, they create a de facto denomination. Others believe the Scriptures reveal a limited form of church cooperation. They say local churches may cooperate, but in ways that follow the New Testament pattern for church cooperation. They allow local churches to maintain their local autonomy and independence. There are some denominations that won't do that. For example, here at Eastside, those members chose their preacher. They chose those men who would lead as the elders of the church, not some synod or group or convention to designate who they would hire or who they would choose to lead. There are a lot of congregations that support preachers outside of their local church, and there are synods and conventions that designate who they should support. In the autonomy of the church has that authority to pick and choose who they want to support, whether it be preachers in foreign fields or missionaries or some needy Christian or another church. But the New Testament pattern reveals this was done directly from the individual churches with no group in the middle or overseeing pattern or church to dictate how they were to spend their money. You know, love for one's fellow man makes one want to accept everything, everyone as they are, and let nothing come between us. But love for God and truth has got to be stronger. It has to take precedence over love for our fellow man. It must prompt us to let whatever is truly an issue of distinction make us different from those who would believe otherwise. Of course, it's very different that we do not artificially put up barriers to diligently study matters to determine whether they merit such importance as to make ourselves different from others, to present our conviction on such matters in the proper spirit. Paul would speak in Ephesians 4 and verse 5 that we should speak the truth in love and do so without quarreling, in gentleness, with patience and humility, as he again would write to the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verses 24 and 25. I'm going to try to do a short series on these issues of distinctions. And in this series, I hope to do just what we're talking about: examine these issues of distinctions that we've surveyed in this lesson, maybe in some greater detail. You know, recently I had someone offer to sell me chili tickets to a chili dinner. And I have a hard time buying these tickets to support what I consider to be a doctrine that's not found in the Bible. And first of all, where does the Bible give the church authority to have a fundraiser other than the giving and the collection taken up each week? There's no authority. So I'm not going to support a congregation or a church or a denomination that I feel like is working outside of the confines of God's law. You may disagree with this lesson. I encourage you to listen to the rest of the lessons and make notes. Follow along in the scriptures. And if you would like to talk with me, as I've said in the past, I would be glad to talk with anyone, but just bring your Bible and show me book, chapter, and verse for where I am wrong. Don't come and say, well, I feel like. Feelings will not get you into heaven. Following the Word of God will. If you'd like to look me up or listen to this lesson again or make comments, you can go to church@eastside.com. That's our website. You can listen to this lesson and past lessons, and you can also leave comments there. You can leave me a message, or you can look me up on Facebook at Jeff Curtis, or you can look up the Eastside Church of Christ on Facebook and leave messages there as well. Again, thank you for being with me.